they're currently conducting an evaluation of the impact of a value-based insurance benefit design on employee wellness and productivity.
Thank you.
Afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to this session. I hope you find this talk stimulating. So
as Jen mentioned, I'm a PhD student in health services research, and as such, I'm fortunate to receive funding from AHRQ. So this research is has been supported by their funding, and I have no other financial disclosures to share. Just as a background, much of my work has been related to topics related to healthcare utilization and cost. And initially, I became interested in residential care facilities from a cost perspective and utilization perspective, thinking about who used, they're called RCFs for short, and how much those services cost. Just to clarify, residential care facilities are often known as assisted living facilities. So they range from very small houses that have been converted to serve the elderly or disabled to large facilities that could have more than 100 beds that are more the traditional nursing home style that you might be familiar with. However, when I started doing some background research, I became very interested in the labor side of RCFs, which is how I conceived this project. As many of you are aware, the U.S. population is aging, and as such, we expect the demand for a lot of healthcare services that are needed by the elderly, and RCFs would be one of them. RCFs and their services they provide would be among those that are expected to have an increased demand. And as such, I would expect, and many expect, that the staffing and the employers or employees needed to staff these jobs are going to be in higher demand in the future. The BLS provided an estimate recently that over the past decade there was about a 50% growth in this sector, and they're projecting another 70% of growth in the coming decade. It's still a relatively small portion of the overall economy, but it's an increasingly important field. But we can see that it doesn't require a lot of skill, it doesn't really require much education, and as such, you wouldn't really expect the pay to be very high. It's pretty much a low-paying job, and there aren't very many barriers to entry, for good or bad. Just in general, just to give you a bit of a description of what they do, personal care aides, which is the group of workers that I'm interested in here, they provide assistance to the elderly, the disabled, in residential care facilities, as well as elsewhere. But they also end up taking on other tasks that are related to housekeeping or janitorial work, or food prep, helping patients with their laundry or transportation. Like many other low-wage jobs, there's typically a lower rate of health insurance coverage than the overall U.S. population. A greater proportion of the PCAs are uninsured, and fewer of their employers provide health insurance coverage for them. For instance, in the state of Washington, about 26% of aides are without insurance. It's a similar rate in California. This compares to about 18% if you look at the overall working population. And then if you look at states like Texas, where it's much higher, there's actually quite a bit of variation overall. The statistics that we have are generally looking at insurance coverage at the individual level, looking at the PCA as a job. I was interested in learning more about the facilities that offer employment, so focusing on residential care facilities. So in particular, how many employers offer health insurance coverage, and what are the characteristics of these employers that might be associated with offering insurance? I had two hypotheses that I was interested in testing. The first was that insurance coverage was associated with increased demand for PCAs, so the standard microeconomic theory that one would want to test, especially given that we're expecting an increased demand for PCAs. Secondly, I was also interested in how coverage was associated with financial certainty of an employer. And I can explain that a bit later. To look at these questions, I used the National Survey of Residential Care Facilities, which was administered for the first time in 2010. and the public use data was released earlier this year. This was a survey of randomly sampled RCFs in which administrators were interviewed on a number of questions related to the operations of the facilities. And among these questions were several items related to work and the benefits offered to personal care aides. This is a simplified conceptual model in which the hypothesized relationships with demand for PCAs and financial certainty are shown. So from the survey, several items were used as indicators for demand. I looked at hours of direct care per day performed by personal care aides. I looked at the number of tasks expected of PCAs. So for instance, there were a set of questions where they asked the facility administrators what their PCA did, and it was out of the seven, or they asked seven different questions, so this is a summary score of those seven tasks. And then also, I looked at what were substitutable labor that that a residential care facility could have that might push out the need for PCAs. There were also several items that I used to that were used to indicate financial certainty. So I looked at the proportion of patients that were Medicaid beneficiaries. I looked at the occupancy rate, and I also looked at their not-for-profit status. And lastly, I also considered the size of the facility. Primarily, I was thinking about there's probably some economies of scale and scope that could be achieved, but also there, those may also influence the overall demand for PCAs as well as the overall financial certainty that the facilities experience. The outcomes that I was interested in were whether or not an RCF offered health insurance coverage to their employees, or rather to their PCAs. If they offered insurance, there was information about whether it was offered for the employee only or if it was for their dependents as well, and also if the facility provided more than 50% of their premium. And also I was interested in looking at life insurance and retirement benefits, if those were offered, because those are other forms of benefit compensation that might substitute for health insurance. The analysis is relatively simple. To advance here, I basically estimated the proportion using the survey, and I applied sampling weight to it to get a national estimate. I ran logistic regressions to look at the relationships between the hypothesized factors. Among survey respondents, almost all the care facilities employed at least one full-time PCA. The majority offered health insurance, and most of those provided health insurance coverage for the dependents as well. A few only offered it for the employees. And among those who offered health insurance, more than half offered to pay or paid for more than half of the premiums. So all in all, about 40% of the surveyed facilities actually provided what could be considered a decent amount of coverage. And just also, about half of the facilities surveyed provided life insurance coverage, and half covered or provided some sort of retirement benefit, pensions, or 401ks. However, once I applied the sampling weight, you can see on the far right column, the estimates or the proportion nationally goes down a little bit. I have to apologize if this is too busy because the next ones are going to be even busier. But this is a bivariate table just to show trends in the demand for PCAs and how that might have a relationship with whether or not they were offered health insurance. And what you'll see is basically there's a bit of a trend, but it's an inverse trend from what I would have expected, which is that the more PCAs have to do, the less likely they would be offered health insurance within the sample, of course. And this next one, this table, similar setup as the last one, but this one is looking at the financial factors and then also the side and capacity factors. And here we're seeing what I would have expected, that factors that indicate that they would have more cash flow, more revenue, lower operating costs, they're likelier to offer insurance to their employees. So this is the meat of it. In the regression that I ran, I did the first unadjusted model looking at the characteristics related to PCA demand, and just to get a sense of how significant those relationships were, and you can see that there is a significant relationship with being, with having more tasks and having more basically work per day, that you're less likely to be offered health insurance. Interestingly, if the facility uses volunteers, however, the PCAs were likelier to be offered health insurance. In the second model on the right, after adjusting for the financial factors, the size factors, we can see that actually most of those, most of the variables related to demand are no longer significant, although there's still a bit of a trend, again, in that inverse relationship. But here we can see that all the things highlighted on the lower right corner, those are reasonably significant. It seems like size and being owned by a chain have the largest influence over being offered health insurance. Not terribly surprising, but it's obviously important to include. Just to confirm these analyses, I ran another set of regressions. I looked at whether or not the facilities offered to pay for more than half of their premiums. And I also looked at life insurance and whether or not retirement benefits were offered. And for the most part, there are very similar results. Some of them are less significant than before. Some of them are more significant than before. The effect sizes are about the same across the board. That probably means that the types of benefits that are offered are correlated. But interestingly here, what you see is that when PCAs are doing, have more tasks or more expectations, again, now this kind of significant. Again, they're less likely to, not only were they less likely to be offered health insurance, but now they're less likely to be have premium support to pay for health insurance. So in conclusion, this analysis found that most residential care facilities employ PCAs, but while there is a majority of facilities that offer health insurance to their employees, this rate is lower than for the overall working population. When analyzing factors associated with insurance coverage, indicators of PCA demand were not significantly associated with insurance coverage as hypothesized. But financial certainty and facility size were associated as expected. There was an unexpected significant association with the use of volunteers that could reflect some additional financial flexibility, maybe because they use volunteers, they don't have to hire as many people. And so they can divert those funds towards offering coverage. And similarly, the associations that we see with size might be related to economies of scale and scope. But it also could be that a larger company has more organizing power among the labor. So there are a few limitations. This is observational data. It's cross-sectional. And there's a potential for response bias. It's very easy for someone to say, to be asked, oh, do you offer health insurance? And they'll say, oh, yeah, of course, of course. Obviously, there's no way to really check. But it's the estimates are consistent enough with other national estimates that it seems reasonable to for these to be real. There's limited information about wages, and we don't know what type of insurance is being offered. We don't know the richness of the benefits, and we really don't know if there's premium support, is it at 50% or is it at 90%? And that can go a long way. And lastly, we're really unable to, and unfortunately, unable to determine the preference or demand for insurance among the employees. It could be that people who, and there is some evidence for this, that workers, low-wage workers actually have a lower demand for insurance for a variety of reasons. They may prefer to have wages in cash so that they have more flexibility with it. It may also be that they are covered through other mechanisms. They could be on Medicaid, they could have a spouse or partner that has them covered. So lastly, just a few implications. Insurance coverage has been associated with employee retention. So one potential concern here is that there is a reasonable amount of employee turnover in these facilities. That has an effect on cost of operations. It could also compromise quality. And over time, as demand increases, and it's very likely, and in fact, probably only going to worsen, that in the face of constrained resources, the companies are going to be less likely or less willing to provide benefits. So one potential strategy would be, at least in terms of looking at maybe Medicaid benefits, to really think through what are potential strategies to either encourage or even enforce this type of employee benefit design. Thank you.